May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Last night when I was thinking about what I was going to say to you today on an Ash Wednesday, I think, well, what could I say that hasn't ever been said before, right? So I thought, well, I'll just dig one of my old ones out and just, you know, revise it a little. But I didn't do that. What I realized as I started thinking about Ash Wednesday was that what basically Ash Wednesday is a built-in annual intervention. Do you realize that? That's what this is. It's an intervention. You know what an intervention is, right? I've never been a part of one, and truth be told, I've only seen them depicted in television dramas and comedies and, you know, animated and real life, all kinds of, I've seen all kinds of interventions, right? What is an intervention? It's when a person who has been not themselves totally, usually it means they've been an addict to something, and the group of people who are most impacted by their ill behavior plan a time when they gather and they confront that person on the impact of how they've been being has, downwardly infected their own lives, right? And you usually see loved ones, relatives, friends. What's different about this intervention, though, is that God is the only one in the room that's calling you individually. That's what this is. Ash Wednesday is God's pre-planned intervention. And you don't have to listen to anybody else but God. And this is God's opportunity to tell us, this is the impact of how you've been being has been related to me. Today, there is no they in this conversation. It's strictly a conversation between God and ourselves, because none of us are going to call anybody else out on their behavior. But we all know that we aren't always all that we can be for God. One of the things I've talked about a few times is that I used to be a part of a campus organization called Campus Crusade for Christ, and one of the things that we would do was share the gospel with people, right? And the basic thing that we would use is a tract called the Four Spiritual Laws. Law number one, you know what that is? Yeah, but you do. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's all we're doing here. We're meeting in a room with God, and God is reminding us, I've got a wonderful plan for you and your life. And the only reason why you're not experiencing all of what I want to bring you is because you haven't been being who it is that I've created you to be. Now, I'm not going to talk about behaviors. You know your behaviors. I don't listen to confessions, so I don't know what we're all anybody is involved in. I know what I do, and I know my behaviors. But the fact of the matter is, God is impacted by us not being all that we know we can be for him. So consequently, this intervention is something that's underwritten by love. God is love. Our God is love. And if there is no God, there is no love. Wherever love is, God is. Do you realize that? Our motivation here, it's not to make anybody feel bad. A lot of times that's what the church has used Ash Wednesday. It's like, okay, this is that one time a year where we can really make people feel bad and really get into that guilt. And maybe if we get deep enough into that guilt, we can reach into their pocketbooks also. Well, feeling bad, that's on us. That's what we do to ourselves. And we know that our God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life. And each one of us knows what it is that we may have been being, how we've been being, that detracts from that. It's also underwritten by honesty. Honesty. I haven't been my true self. We all develop coping strategies, right? We all develop ways of being to help compensate for some sense of embarrassment, some sense of failure from our past. And sometimes we adopt ideologies that help us adapt to these situations. You know, and sometimes we even idealize human philosophies and ways of thinking that excuse unloving behavior and ideas. My invitation here is just for each of us to examine that on our own. Nobody's accusing anybody of anything. But our Lord is inviting us to get real with ourselves about how we've been being and what's in the way of us experiencing that wonderful life that God has for us. I would contend that for most of us, the evil we commit resides not in what we do or even in what we say. You know where I think it resides? I think it resides mostly in the unsaid. Yeah, those things that we don't say that we know we should. Putting something out there that is actually of help to other people. Acknowledging people for whatever goodness they are putting out there. Instead of us just being aware of, oh, I think that person's fallen a little short. What can we find that we can acknowledge in that person to help build them up, to put them back on the road? You don't have to be a criminal to be a sinner. And I think that's what we need to realize. The last element that I think is important we should keep in mind is that we have support for this. That's why we come together as a people, as a church, as a community, as a people of God, as the body of Christ. Have you ever heard this expression that the church is not a sanctuary for saints? It is a hospital for what? For sinners. That's what we are. And none of us comes in here wearing halos on our head. And if we are, then we're just pretending. At the end of today's service, you know what? We're all going to walk out of here with dirt on our faces. Isn't that wonderful? So we know that each one of us has to be real with our God. We only, and only ourselves know who we're supposed to be being with respect to what our God is calling from us. So, the tradition of Lent is we want to stop something and we want to start something. That's all there is. Anytime you stop something, what do? You create space for you to create something. And so that's what today is. It's a call to consciousness. It's an intervention with God that we can realize, hey, this way of being hasn't really worked for me. What if I stopped that and started this? Let's play it out. It's only 6 weeks. And yeah, technically speaking, you get Sundays off if that's how you want to play it. Nobody's going to grade you. But what we want to remember is to have mercy on ourselves. And that, you know what? Even if we do mess it all up, we've seen it on the calendar, it's going to happen again next year, isn't it? Yeah. So keep that in mind. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, today, all of us are poor in spirit, knowing that our God, who is love, is saving us from the biggest enemy we've ever known. What is that? Our own bad choices and our own worst selves. to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.